For the second time ever, we bring together the amazing forces that are Diesel, Pollock, and Clooney. And why did I say it in that order? Because if you put them together, you get D-Palooney. And really, there's no better name for an episode. Welcome to the D-Palooney episode.
D-Palooney loser.
The yes, D-Palooney loser.
I think we just started a conference.
So yeah, counts as a conference. This counts as a conference.
Yes.
Oh, dear listener slash viewer now, because we also have video available. Welcome to this episode where we have, and I know he hates being referred to as this, but I'm going to do it anyway, the legend that is Michael Pollack.
Yes.
It's like, that's you. You're the legend.
Legendary. Yep.
Legendary.
I thought you were going to say Michael frickin' Pollack.
Michael frickin' Pollack.
I know he hates this, but either way, we're excited. We're excited.
Thank you for that. Yeah. No, it's great to be with you guys again.
In fact, we did so much chatting before we started the episode that I really did have to be like, oh wait, we should record this. Michael's just so much fun to talk to. Our pre-conference was a load of fun. So thanks so much for joining us. And you know, we'll dive right in. What's been new with you, Michael? What's been new with you?
What hasn't been new is probably a shorter list. But we are new to Asheville, North Carolina. I am new to Black Bear Photography, which I've been able to do here.
That's a thing.
I do share some of it on Facebook. What else is new in the world of our family is that this was the first year. I've been really sad about this. This was the first year of our lives together that we didn't gather at the Christmas, you know, between like Thanksgiving to New Year's. And we have a 32-year-old, a 30-year-old, and then our youngest is about to turn 21. So it just, life got complicated. And our daughter came home from university, our youngest, with COVID. And then our one working in Baltimore, Maryland, also had COVID. And,
it's all the rage.
Well, yeah. I mean, everyone's doing it. Yeah. I mean,
everyone's doing it.
We skipped out. Kristen and I got to skip out this time. But so that was really different. There are a lot of good things that have been happening. One was the ITCKC, so the International Third Culture Kid Conference that happened in Chiang Mai, Thailand.
Yes.
And, wow.
Did you go there, Chris? Were both of you there and I missed it, or
no? I wasn't able to. I was in Hong Kong at the time, but the whole, so you know, I made it to the right region ish but I'm so bummed about it, which is part of the reason I'm so glad we have you, because I'm excited to hear about it. I'm excited to hear about the endeavor, what your thoughts on it were, what the future of it is. Yeah, unpack it all for us, since Jerry and I couldn't be there, and so by proxy, some of our listeners slash viewers weren't able to be there. But yeah, tell us about it.
It was fabulous in the sense of accomplishing a number of difficult things that we set out to do. The kind of the vision for this was, and we're all about TCK care, right? And we realized that it had been a long time, actually maybe never, that there was a conference purposely for a broad range of third culture kids. So this was a conference with a group of Christians doing third culture kid care all over the world. Like our reps are from Nigeria, Korea, Canada, UK, Brazil, Spain. I'm sure I'm missing someone. Korea, did I say Korea? Canada, US. Yeah, I mean, and this is the planning group, right? And we're also in the process of looking to add some more folks. But this group said, you know, we want a conference that welcomes everyone in the third culture community, and that is underpinned, you know, with Christian values. And that in itself is a can be a little bit tricky, right? When we want to take on the things that are sometimes not talked about, and live for a few days in the tensions of this needs to be talked about. We you know, we need to address it. We need to know how to care for each other better. And so we hit topics like disabilities in the TCK, you know, world and how it impacts families. We had Madonna Maurer there. That was fantastic. We
Brilliant.
addressed the impact of gender and sexuality norm in the third culture and the layer that that adds. If you know, when a culture or the cultures that you pass between are accepting, not accepting of where you are in your sense of identity. You know, I mean, just I could go on. I'm actually really excited about I'm excited about it all. It was really amazing. But I was one pass on that's coming from the conference is a seminar that I'll be doing with Karina Lagarigue in April, and then we are going to offer some small specific coaching sessions after that, based on the what we've been learning about the TCK and highly sensitive persons connection. I learned in this last year, that's something that's new, that I am solidly in the HSP camp. That's about 20% of the population. It has a number of different iterations, and but the turns out the research is deep, over 30 years. And when I met Karina, I then learned, I said, you know, how long have you been, you know, working on this? And she's working on a PhD and doing research. And, you know, I thought that she was, you know, probably kind of peripheral to this. Well, she's working alongside and doing research alongside the originator of this concept. And I was like,
Oh,
this is fantastic. We really need to,
you're just getting right to the source.
you know, it was a gift. It was really a gift. So I think that's a, you know, when you think about TCK populations and when you consider epigenetics, that, you know, our experience can flip switches in our DNA, then when you say, well, an HSP person, it's a genetic makeup, okay? And so what we got talking about, one of the things was, so can the disruptiveness and the change, you know, changes that and sometimes trauma or complex trauma that a person goes through, can go through in a TCK experience, can that have an epigenetic effect and move someone more toward a highly sensitive camp? So that's a research question. It hasn't been answered yet.
Wow.
Uh,
That's fascinating. Yeah.
so
That
another thing, you know,
that's
oh, go ahead.
yeah, go ahead.
I was
No,
going to
go
switch.
ahead. I
Oh,
think my end. No, I was gonna switch. No, this is why I've been excited to talk to you because it feels like, okay, yeah, there's a lot that is new. It has been a couple years, I think, since we talked, but it just feels like time is moving faster than it has ever moved. Like the world is changing faster than it has ever changed before. And so you, as kind of the legendary source of one of the great minds around the TCK topic, right? Like you understand this, you live this, you know this, you grew up with this, you experienced it. I would put your ins up against anybody in the world. And yet the world has changed so much so quickly. And so it's like there's this foundation that comes, from the work of your father, from Ruth, and then your contribution. But how does that all play together, right? How does it, what's changing as the world changes?
In like a one sentence.
Yeah, nice simple answer if you don't mind. Just go ahead
Yeah,
and wrap that
just
all up
I
for
mean it's
us.
good in a word, in one word.
Yeah. I keep hearing researchers and
What shifts do you see? What shifts do you see in the and you've already expanded on some of them, right? But what's happening in the TCK world?
yeah. Well, there's this larger picture of I've heard it stated this way by neurologists saying our brains are not made wired for the pace of life that we actually live. And that makes a lot of sense once when you and the way we feel,
It made I feel like it made more sense for me than it should have. But yes, I resonate
Well,
1,000%.
that quote that I like, it's a Persian quote that the soul travels by horseback. That's in the TCK book, and there's a really cool TCK author in England who's in the UK who's written poetry about that. But that idea, always feeling somehow like there's a part of us like two steps behind. Now, that can be partly generational, right? And the changes, and I think that the way brain function, is changing generationally is also really rapid. So understanding epigenetics, the impact of experience and environment on our genetic expression, those kinds of things, and then the psychology of if the world has had increased mobility, it also has increased crossing of culture, it has increased losses, it has increased grief, maybe that, and that grief can be unresolved. So those are some of the threads and some of the themes out of the TCK studies from before. And now I think there is an important place to mesh those with what's going on in neurology and what's happening in physics, and the there's just some incredible, and then you turn to the topic of AI. And I just read yesterday that the first implant was made into a human brain to its main function is to increase mobility for folks who are have paralysis issues. And that just got me spinning off on a, I wrote, the dystopian, movie writers are, they got to be going right now,
So
getting
much
that
fuel, so
next
much
one.
fuel.
So much fodder for that. But yeah, so keeping up with the change, that it's impossible. So it's I feel like it's a matter of picking the areas. And while I'm super interested about science of the mind and neurology and AI and these things, I keep coming back to how does this impact our relationships, right? I think kind of one of the core parts of being human is our relationships to each other, and relationship to ourself, relationships to each other, and as oh, who said that? Yeah, bidden or unbidden, God is present. A relationship to to being outside of ourselves, and it's, I think a lot of it is fragmenting. A lot of those influences are fragmenting to those relationships, and that's a common theme among the third culture, and the question of how to resolve that reputation and to put self and community together in some way, in some place. I'm smiling a ton because I'm with you guys. I've been doing, I kind of live and work in this, my wife and I in this 600 square foot space, and I'm working from home, and the because I'm new in the community too, I'm just starting to get to know folks, and that feels fragmenting. I just feel kind of I'm disconnected. While sometimes that's freeing in the sense of responsibilities and expectations, if people don't know you, they really can't expect a lot of you, except just to, maybe be a decent human being. And but that sense of connection, the purpose together, sharing of community, sharing, sharing life, that's it, right? As you put it. So yeah. So I think it's getting more, in some ways it can be more complicated to for people in the third culture, kids and adults, all across that too. Well, I'm calling it to remember. I gave a talk to a group of folks, and what had occurred to me as I was preparing was the word remember is amazing. I have always thought about it as a like recall, okay? But if you break down the word, it's to remember, it's to member again. Get it right? And I
I
thought
get it.
for the first time, I thought the opposite is not forget. The opposite is dismember.
That's cool.
Yeah. And when that struck me, I thought, oh, wow, that is often how people feel. And when you talk about a TCK, say, who grew up in Asia, who is now living in Canada, who not living near Toronto, or other, or the West Coast with high Asian populations, can feel like a part of them is dismembered. That how I'm coaching a handful of folks. And I'll just put in a quick word. I do have spaces left for currently for coaching for the coming year. But you don't have to sign up for a year. I'll just say that. It's not a lifetime commitment.
Once you're in, you're in.
You
There's
can
no
check
way.
out, but you can never leave. This common theme of how do I bring the parts of me together in a way that makes sense in a community of people? That's like 60%, of the coach. And I think that third culture kids are not the only folks in society who are feeling that way.
I'm glad you said that. I think my mind was spinning as you said all of that, because I think, even from the get-go, the one of the things that I get to talk a lot about with parents, when I'm speaking in schools, is the idea that to assuage some guilt, for lack of a better term, because a common thought is, oh, I feel bad because, we thrust our kids into this TCK lifestyle. What have I done to them? And from my perspective as a third culture kid, one of the things I've realized is that nobody gets to choose their upbringing. Nobody. And I have friends who, were born and raised in a small town, and they look at a transient life and think, oh, if only I could have had that. And you do get TCKs who think, man, I'd have done so much better if I could just have been in one place. But nobody gets to pick. And I guess I say all that because it's fascinating to me. I think we underestimate sometimes, going back to, one of the things you said about, epigenetics and things like that. We sometimes underestimate that balance between nature and nurture and how intertwined they are, that our surroundings are nurturing has an effect on nature, has an effect on our genetics, and vice versa. Obviously, our genetics lead us in certain ways, but knowing that that relationship is a lot more dynamic, kind of connecting that with some of the other things you said, I wonder if we're going to see, as as we are moving into more and more rapid change, maybe maybe some people are going to thrive more in that. Maybe some people are really excited and are like, yes, I want more cultural input and more transience and more change. You know, that's what I've been waiting for. And whereas other people, yeah, other people are going to be more stressed and think, oh no. Like I was,
Right.
you know, I was not built for this. And I think about, you know, people, I have a friend who a friend who I visited recently, and he does say all the time, he's like, I was born in the wrong century. He's like, I should have been about a century ago and royalty. Like I should have been a century ago. I also should have been royal. And I'm like, oh, that makes a difference. But I do. I wonder if we're going to see more people feeling displaced, you know, as change happens so much more quickly. And if we do see more people displaced, it makes what you're saying all the more important that how do we remember? How do we pull people together when more and more people feel displaced? And that is, there's, yeah, thinking in those directions. I'm so glad that the ITCK conference happened, because I think we do. We need to pull more minds and more thoughts together, because yeah, change is happening more rapidly. Some people are going to struggle with it. Some people are going to excel, and it means so much. We say it all the time, but so many things we know about TCKs are going to have relevance far beyond just TCKs. And so,
Right.
yeah. So with all of that, there's so much to do moving forward.
Right. It's not just a niche study. You know, I think that's why Ruth Van Reeken so often used the image of a petri dish. Say, if we can understand this, then we can, you know, extrapolate that out to store and care for lots of people. And I mean, Ted Ward, the researcher, you know, that was his TCKs are the prototype citizens of the future, not because they were going to be some special, you know, beings, but because our future is moving, you know, that way. And when you think about climate change, when you think about, you know, that we haven't found the secret to world peace yet. So inter-country and within country, you know, conflicts, so many different things are displacing people. And you know, the whole to think about what are going to be the needs, you know, going forward of climate refugees, and displaced weather, is that climate displaced people? You know, although what we know about how to care for, what we know about how to address, you know, all those needs is going to, you know, be valuable. So we want to, first of all, I think the goal is to share resources, share knowledge, share our questions, you know, in a two-way conversation or multi-way conversations and understandings, and kind of pipelines, you know, for those resources. But it globally, it's been a long time since there has been sort of that connected focus in the third culture world. And so how we define it is important. So it's something, you know, I've been doing a lot of thinking about. And it's not defining so that we can put, you know, edges on it. I think I've said that before on the other podcast, that the group that wants defined edges probably the most is are researchers, because they want to make sense of a set, you know. And I get that, makes sense. But practitioners, we don't really care so much. We say, oh, have you had this experience? Is it impacting you in this way? Well, then come on aboard, you know. Or, you know, do you have a sense of your identity and your culture and belonging that you have a hard time feeling like you fit in anywhere? You fit in with us, you know, come on. Right. So I think we've struggled over that for so long. And sociologist Danao Tanu was also presenting at the conference. And one of the things that she talked about is how she said, well, anthropologists, sociologists tend to take the most interest in those in the borderlands, and who are the gatekeepers, and how do people move in and out of these different cultural groups. And I thought, Wow. You know, the gatekeepers, that matters so much. When I think of my dad, one of the things that I love and still like brings a lump up is just how inclusive he was. Any human being that he met, I think, felt loved and seen and heard, and felt important, because that's how he saw people. So, even when you talk about, legends and experts, I'm very cautious with those words, but I think if there are going to be, gatekeepers in a sense in this realm of third culture care, it ought to be the people who love people the most. If
Yeah, I
that,
was gonna say.
I don't know.
It's a good qualification, I feel. It's a good qualification.
Yeah. So I wanted to go back. One of the things that was also unique about this conference was the age spans. We had a young woman who was 17 or 18,
Wow.
who brought a musical gift to the.
Wow.
My goodness, I think we were all just blown away, and we're like, "How do we get your, how do we get your LP?" and that was amazing. And then, the upper end, everyone wants to laugh and not talk about it. But folks in their 70s, for sure. And those weren't, those are not barriers in that third culture. Folks from, all across the world. I think in my, when I listed, I didn't say India, and that's hugely important and is even leading to some new thoughts, new projects. That's a whole, wow, we could have a whole conversation on what's going on in India, but yeah.
It's exciting. It's exciting to see the expansion of, I think there's just the growth in this in the Petri dish, right? To see what's coming out of the Petri dish, and I haven't talked to Ruth for a while, but I can imagine she just has those beautiful eyes of desiring that, wanting to see that, and empowering that, right? Like empowering other people to do that. And you mentioned, if we're going to have gatekeepers, they ought to be the people who love, and you would hope that those are the ones that float to the top, right? Like, and those are the ones who have the impact. And yet society, the world doesn't always have that same filter. We don't choose our leaders based on love. That is not any type of political statement. I deny any type of, but whoever you thought of in your head, you're right. Yeah,
Desmond Tutu, his
but
exception.
what like what's right? What like what is how I'm trying to frame the right question ahead here. What do we do to encourage, support, that like push towards that type of gatekeeper, right? Like how do we encourage that to actually be the case? The loving gatekeeper.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think who we promote and what we promote, even matters. What you just said about we human population don't tend to pick our leaders that way. And a reasonable reply might be, why not? Right. I
It's a
mean,
great reply. Yeah.
there are particular competencies to different leadership roles. But I think this is a C.S. Lewis quote, you can, great intelligence and ability that, without love that leans toward evil or, selfishness, is just more capable of doing more harm. Right.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. And we've been talking quite a bit about, and talking with younger folks. I think mentoring is a huge part of that. When we see, there were over 200 people present, and then maybe 70 something online, and just an exceptional gathering of beautiful people. And I kept thinking about that, about the, how do we stay in touch? How do we encourage, the folks in Brazil and Nigeria and Kenya and India and Canada, and all the exotic places. That's a joke. Exotic, that's a joke. So yeah, I think mentoring is a big deal in that. And there has to be some, there have to be places to cross to get to know each other and things. I think conferences like that can be one of those places, but work groups and networks, and we have the technology to create those. Are we using it that way is a good question. I am a big proponent. I may have said this on the last podcast too, just put me on repeat, but I'm a big proponent of co-mentoring. And that concept is related to what we talked about earlier with the speed of change. I love the relationship I have with my almost 21-year-old who's studying neuroscience. And there are lots of things that I, need to, I go to her for, what do you think about and what's your perspective on? And or also, even, do you know how to do this? Have you heard of this app? Kind of thing. And and she's and she's quite patient with me. There are so many younger generations who I believe are kind of crying out or asking, looking for people that they can trust, people that they can look to come alongside and share some of that life wisdom, the experience wisdom. And I think a big part of mentoring is part of it is just affirming, right, who people are, the experience that they've had, the knowledge that they have, and that, sometimes it's a matter of just saying, and you're great, you're going to be okay, you can, yeah, you can do this. Now, now AI, you're going to have a lot to have to work with, and the, and ecology and the, and global warming. I mean, that's not a laughing matter. That those, there are big things to deal with. But I have a lot of faith. I take heart when I meet younger gen and folks and hang out, spend time.
Well, I think one of the things that you do so well, and part of the reason we were so excited to have you, is you're so good at bringing language to things. And to me, that's such it's such an important step, because you're right. We are dealing with a lot. There's a lot of change. There's a lot of just a lot of challenges. But the reality is, yeah, I think we can look at things from a hopeful perspective. And I think the more we provide people sort of the language, because language helps us connect, and the more we provide the language and build those connections, the more we benefit from the fact that there's so much people can contribute, and even just, use the language of the, I remember you posting on LinkedIn about what you found out about, highly sensitive personalities and things like that. And even that, being able to have the language to say, oh, this explains the why, which is one of the big things about even the importance of the language of third culture kids. That's, I think each of us have gotten to experience the just that look of amazement in someone's face when they learn what a TCK is, and they go, oh, that's, oh, that, okay. That sense of belonging that comes when you have language. And so with that, is there going to be another ITCK conference is, are there plans for it to become annual? I know we didn't even rehearse whether I'm allowed to ask these things. I'm just asking them.
Whether you're allowed.
Means.
I know,
Well, as two influencers in the third culture realm, I hope you'll get behind that. And I mean, there are so many good things, happening, official and unofficial, and one of the realities, we actually just met with a group that's called the Shepherds Council. That's the global group. And out of that group, came the folks who were leading the conference. And then we got to pull in some other amazing, amazing people as well. So we were just talking about that yesterday morning, I think.
Because hot off the press, hot off the press.
And there is this a pretty rich discussion about both the need to, to broadly, connect, and also to provide things that can hone in. So if you don't have any places to specifically discuss the unique aspects of what's going on as a TCK in the military, or a TCK in missions, or a TCK in business, there's a bit of a loss there. Now, the things in common are super important, and so what comes next? So, in a one suggestion has been that perhaps the global BSIS conferences every 3 years or so. There was also discussion about, well, if you have it in a setting like in South America, and it's very difficult for folks from Asia to afford this. Like we don't want to block people out of a conference like this because of funds, right? So there was even, discussion about, well, do we have it a little more frequently in these different parts of the world? So it's about 3 years apart and different. So it's under construction, but good conversations. And then how to. The question of how to focus in between, in your particular strata of third culture, in your region, and so building the smaller networks as well. I think. And hope very much that that it's not more than 3 years that the that an ITCKC will happen again. And I'm very encouraged too by the folks who came again from all over the globe, who just have amazing gifts. So I think the addition of good minds and younger, fresh energy, and things, will help that help that along. We financially, the committee raised, and I wasn't on the leadership committee for the conference. I was on a subcommittee for program. The leadership raised about $60,000
Wow.
to make sure that folks from regions with fewer resource, would be able to be both presenting and attending. And so that there was another, piece that was unique amongst many, many conferences. So I think there's something very,
It's exciting, yeah.
very, very unique, very special about this. Yeah. So
Oh my gosh. It's so
must
good to hear.
Yeah. So the answer is yes, right? Yes, more to
Yes.
come. Yes.
More to come. Oh my gosh, which it is, and that's a hopeful place, to kind of end on here, just because there's so much. It's all changing and all happening so rapidly, and I think it's easy to get lost in that. That's one of the things, that caught my attention that you talked about near the beginning, is just, yeah, what our brains aren't designed for, the, which is such an interesting thought, that our brains aren't designed for the level of change that we're experiencing.
Yeah.
And it begs the follow-on question, are we going to adapt to that? Will, which our brains do apparently adapt. I remember, and it's purely anecdotal, I don't remember where I read it, so I maybe I made it up, but I do remember, you have access to a neurologist or neuroscience, so you can check on this with your daughter. But I remember an interesting study that said that they could see a difference in brain pathways and brain mapping for London cab drivers, that the way they had to think, London is just such an odd network to learn to drive in, and that they could see a difference in their neural pathways, that cab drivers in London had a different set of neural pathways. So adaptation, we do seem possible. And it's exciting to think that, through events like IATC Casey, through the networks that have come out of it, it's exciting to think that maybe we could all have a part in helping us adapt to all these things coming up. Which, and I have to, this is the point of the episode where I have to point out that, speaking of adapting and changing, I would
Tell
like
us
to
more.
throw a little mention to our friends over at kc360.co, who help with the massive adaptation that is TCK's going to college. And the dear people over there can help with things like the FAFSA, which is just a fun word to say, but not a fun
I
set of
can't even
paperwork to
say
fill out.
it.
Nope, FAFSA. They can help with FAFSA. They can help plan your journey. They can help even with the essay writing. So if you happen to be a TCK going off to college soon, or you're a parent of TCKs going off to college soon, if you would like help adapting with that, head on over to kc360.co because they're very clever people over there. So there we go. Had to put that in. But our dear Michael Pollack, so many things you opened up. Do you have any parting words of wisdom? Any parting thoughts you'd like to leave our listeners slash viewers with?
I want to go back to what you said about language, how important language is. And this is where not fighting over, the boundaries for, who is in and who's out of the third culture experience. But do you have time for me to share like the very quickly the three legs of the stool, and maybe we'll pick that up again.
No, of course we do. Of course we do.
Well, so as I've been, and this really is, this is conversation maybe a year long, every week or so, or so, because it was planned every week, but life happens. With Ruth Van Rieken, researchers like Danau, people who are doing other research like Karina, and so the way I've spun it down there, I had some aha moments. And I think that the third culture kid experience, that's the important part, right? It's not a label like you are this thing, but you have had this experience, has, I think, three key parts that have been identified, but maybe there's one that's been implied but not stated. Okay, so the first thing that we recognize is that, well, the reason that has the term kids is because it's during the developmental years. So these experiences happen while people are growing up. Now, lots of discussion about why do we decide 18 is the end of growing up when the brain it continues to develop until 26-ish? So, and I still feel like mine has, like a couple more things.
And beyond,
Yeah. I think I'm just in the new neural pathways, time now. I think, yeah. But 26. So so is that a, is that how important is that to consider language? Some research that we know needs to be done is in taking in culture. What are there particular developmental stages where you're acculturated, much more strongly than others? And so that's, someone's going to have to kind of blend like Piaget's, stages or whatever, with developmental stages with cross culture, and that could be a really fun PhD, somebody out there.
I'm on it.
So that's important.
Jerry's got it. Jerry's
You
got it.
know, let me know how that's
Yep.
going.
I'm gonna sign up online right now.
Second leg of the stool is that cross-cultural experience. And one of the things that that Ruth Yuseem talked clearly about was that these are spaces in which culture is being exchanged. Ways of life are being exchanged. And I think that there are real implications in thoughts about cultural hegemony, or when there's crossing of culture, but one culture is crushing the other. It might even be a genocide. So there's some real important sociological things to think about creating a quality of difference. So, for instance, she wasn't talking about a traditional colonialism. Okay, Ruth Yuseem was talking in her point, this relationship in India of the expat community with the local Indian community, and how all of those people were creating a way of life that was built around, part around sharing these cultures. So an equality of cultural exchange is, it seems like that's an important, that's an important, so that's leg two. Okay, so we've got during the developmental years, we've got the cross-cultural piece that really comes out of an exchange of cultures. And then this part where the explanation and definition that my dad gave was talking about, going with their parents outside of, outside of their culture. And I began to spin that down and do research and talk to people about what we're getting at. Is it the word mobility? A lot of folks have begun to use, oh, it's, real simple. When you're a kid and you cross cultures and you're mobile, okay, boom. All right, that's pretty easy. But mobility in and of itself is a cause, right? It's not the effect of that cause. And it doesn't explain what happens in a community like an international school where someone who comes from the community nearby and is a part of that school becomes a third culture kid. How is that? They don't have that, mobility piece, right? So as I thought about it, the thing that struck me was it's about change. And but it's not just change, because every human being, we just talked about how much change we're going through. So how do you define it? So this is during the developmental years, it's the idea of disruptive change. And then I borrowed a word that was so clever that my dad used, significant. Well, what is significant disruptive change for a human being? Well, it depends on the human being, right? It's sort of how, when you go to like trauma, you can't say, well, this event is traumatic. No, you have to go to the person's experience and how they were able or not able to handle it and assimilate it.
Process that.
Boom. So this idea, the third leg is significant disruptive change, and that's geographic and or socio-relational, right? Your people, your anchors in life change, whether you move or not. Even a kid that is from Nigeria who goes to an international school in England, that and stays there, long term, and say, well, that person wasn't very mobile. Yeah, but if it's really an international school, right, those the other people kept changing that social grouping, that the connections to people, and those connections to people, as we, maybe this is a great way to wrap, because we kind of began there, the love and the care, the interest, the being, being known, being seen, and being loved and cared for who you are. This is an essence. This is an essential part of being a human being. So, so when those are disrupted, and dismembered, it's going to have an impact. And it doesn't mean that it's going to necessarily have a negative impact. I mean, it's going to be a challenge, right? But it's about walking with people through those disruptive changes in a supportive way, giving them what they need for that, understanding what the experience is about, that create positive outcomes. There it
Oh,
is.
that's
Good
such a
stuff.
good wrap up. Yeah, it's such a good wrap up, because it is, it speaks to the human relational experience. And I appreciate that we get to end on, I think, what was a great example of, I mean, Ruth Van Reeken talks about expanding the tent, and I love that idea. And I've spoken at schools where Yeah, there a lot of international schools have a more significant local population now. And there is there's definitely been discussion about, you know, what happens if you are a Malaysian student attending an international school in Malaysia? Are you a TCK? And I've always argued that yes, because, you know, they're having culturally a very different experience than, say, their neighbor, you know, who their kids go to a Malaysian school. So they're still getting multiple cultural influences, and they're still getting a degree of transience. And I think, you know, your definition of it, you know, so much better, that idea of, you know, significant disruptive change. And that expands the language, and it's that language that helps us connect. Michael Pollack, I know
Michael.
you don't want to hear it, but legend, such a legend. And it's been so good having you. We'll have to do this again, because I think we just cracked open a whole bunch of stuff. So we'll have to do we'll have to oh wait, what I call it, a D Palooney. We'll have to have D Palooney Palooza
I
part
love it.
three.
I love the time with you.
D
It's dangerously close
Palooniepalooza
to
part three.
depolluting, which I guess is still a good thing, right?
Yeah,
Like depolluting. Depolluting sounds positive.
that's still, I'll take it. I'll
Unpacking
take
the
it.
world and cleaning it. There we go.
And cleaning the world, D. Palooney cleaning, deep Palooney cleaning. Look, there we have it.
Deep, deep.
There we have it.
It just gets better.
It does.
Yeah.
This a whole conference is starting here. Whole conference.
And is it okay to
Global
play?
Deep Palooney conference. We may pick up
Palooney
some big names who are just mistaken. They think they're coming to something else.
conference. Yeah. We'll take it. We'll take
This could be
it.
really
We'll
good.
take them.
Yeah.
Is it okay to say that this work, I'm available. I'm actually doing online training for a school in India this coming week. I'm going to be going to Korea to work with TCKs there in the summer. I love to be able to do this. So, if there's a place where there are questions, need for coaching or mentoring or collaboration, training, contact me. I love it.
Yeah. And what is, and we'll put
How
it
do
in
they
the
do
show
that? How do we
notes.
contact
Yeah,
you?
we'll put it in the notes, but
Yeah.
tell us how's the best way to get in touch.
There is actually a website at darajatck.org. I am in the process of recruiting someone who knows more about maintaining, and keeping a good, vibrant web page going. And I have some nibbles on that. That's a good way. I'm on Facebook. My work email. Is that a good thing to give here?
Sure. Our listeners slash viewers are trustworthy.
It's all over. It's all over anyway. It's So it's my initials. This is my parents did to me. MVP,
Love it.
period. AT, period. WORK at gmail.com. So it looks like
There it is.
MP at work at gmail.com.
So
Excellent.
good.
I'm on LinkedIn
Excellent.
as well. Yeah. And
Boy,
WhatsApp.
well,
That's
yes. Anyway, it's
great.
true. I think Michael and I chatted on six different platforms to get this set up. There were LinkedIn messages, there were Facebook messages, there were emails,
Where
there
are
were
you?
chat, all of it.
MySpace.
All of it. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's great. Thank you so much for doing this. This is a little spur of the moment, and I loved it. Thanks. I appreciate
Always,
it.
always a pleasure. Always great.
Yeah. Thanks so
We
much for
really
joining
should do
us.
it in person.
At the
Absolutely.
conference. At the
Yep, at the
conference.
conference.
At
Absolutely.
the D
Next
Palooney
year,
conference.
personally.
Details will be coming out.
But anytime you're near Asheville, please, please let me know. Peace.
Oh,
Thanks.
absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Michael, and dear listener slash viewer, thank you so much for joining us. We hope you'll come again soon for, you know, D Palooney part three. We'll depollute misconceptions aplenty.
Well said.